Welcome to the porch here on Firefall Talk Radio. I'm Richard Grand. Tonight we're going to take a little break from the gifts of the Spirit. We'll pick it back up next week, Lord willing, unless he changes that. I'm just following the plan and I'm along for the ride, he decides. Tonight we're going to be talking about prayer as it pertains to the Pentecost Protocol. But first, let's just start with a couple of quick announcements. Thank you. Thank you for being here. Thank you for supporting. Thank you for encouraging and doing all that you do. As of now, the websites for the porch at onsolomonsporch.org and for SRT at supernaturalresponse.net and also firefalltalkradio.com, they're all back up. Basically, right now, it's just a homepage with an ability to contact us, and we'll see how that plays out. As the Lord leads, they will be added to, but I wanted you to have a way to connect with us if you need to. Excuse me. Also on the SRT page is a link for the book, The Supernatural Battle, and that was also down, but now there's a link there to get the paperback. The ebook is on Amazon. However you want to read it, it's there. And as soon as I find the time, I will update it and do all the things that I want to do. And there's just not enough time in the day. And again, I'm at the Lord's beck and call. Whatever he wants me to do, I do. And some days he throws the brakes, pulls it back on the bridle, however you want to look at it, and shuts me down. Studio is in progress. We've had some delays, but it's progressing and it's going to get there in his time frame. I'm not stressing it. I'm not worrying about it. I'm just going to let him be God because I'm not. Tonight we're going to do things a little different. We're going to keep the praise reports and prayer requests to the end because we're going to talk about prayer and I want to set the stage. I want to get you into the right frame of mind, spiritually, scripturally. And then we'll go to it. So we're going to pray, and then we're going to do the sounds of the shofar, and we're going to jump into it. But I want to remind you in Acts chapter 4, after Peter and John had been threatened, they were in jail overnight because they healed the man at the Gate Beautiful and all the things that happened. They went back, and they told everybody what took place. And essentially, this was the beginning of the persecution that the Lord had warned them of. And we get to the end of Acts chapter 4, verse 29. As they're praying, they're speaking out loud. Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant, Yeshua. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together, was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Father, if ever we needed Acts 4, 31 to happen, we need it now. Your sons and your daughters, your children, they are being threatened. They're being persecuted. They're being jailed. They're being murdered. And we know it's going to get worse. So we come to you now the way they did that day. Peter and John, the other disciples, and all the people that were with them. And we ask you to look upon the threats and grant to us the boldness to speak your word. Use us to stretch your hand out to heal and signs and wonders would be done in the name of Yeshua. Lord, fill us with your spirit. Shake the places where we are. Make us bold, make us shine in these dark times. Right now, Holy Spirit, we just come to you and we say, clear our minds, prepare us to receive, prepare us to pray. We ask right now for your glory to fall upon in each and every person that's listening. That they would remember their salvation. They would remember the cross. They would remember their Savior. and that would fill them, that would make their hearts explode with love and with warmth, and that this desire to serve you, Lord, would fill them. Father, we just come to you now as your children. We boldly approach the throne of grace and mercy. And we say, Abba, Father, Papa, God, Daddy, we love you. We thank you. We worship you. And we desire to have all that you wish for us mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually, in every way, shape, and form. Change us. Lord, I pray that your words, that our spirit man would absorb them, that we would begin to live out the gospel, and that your presence, your signs and wonders, the signs of the Messiah would be in us. We submit ourselves to you, Lord. We submit ourselves to you, Father. We submit ourselves to you, Holy Spirit. Have your way with us. And we pray this in Yeshua's name. Amen. Nothing new. From Genesis to Malachi in the Old Testament, they prayed. They understood what prayer was. David understood prayer. Psalm 5, verse 3, my voice you shall hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning I will direct it to you, and I will look up. Psalm 83, 13, but to you I have cried out, O Lord. And in the morning, my prayer comes before you. Psalm 55, 17, evening and morning and at noon, I will pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. What if we were like David? David didn't have the infilling of the Holy Spirit. David didn't have salvation. He wasn't born again. But he knew that he would start his day in prayer and praise. And that he would pray three times a day, evening, morning, and at noon. And he would cry out to the Lord. He knew his voice would be heard. The Lord gave us an example about prayer. Mark 1:35, now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he, being the Lord, he went out and departed to a solitary place. And there he prayed. Luke 6:12, now it came to pass in those days that he went out to the mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. So it didn't matter whether it was first thing in the morning or last thing at night. Every chance the Lord got, he got alone with the Father to pray. He talked about prayer. You go to Matthew chapter 6, we'll start with verse 5, which are the red letters, folks. Red letter basics. And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the street, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father, who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they'll be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them. For your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. In this manner, therefore, pray. Abba in heaven, our Father, our Abba in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And then right after that, he follows up, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you don't forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. And I found it just so very profound that after teaching us this powerful, personal, intimate prayer, he made it clear that forgiveness is the key if you want answered prayer. If you hold unforgiveness, he's not going to hear it. He'd rather you leave the gift, leave the praise, leave it at the altar and go reconcile and forgive and then come back. But in this moment, right here is the prayer. Right here is the moment that the Pharisees began to plot his death. The religious leaders who said you can only pronounce it this way and you can't really say his name and you can't spell it like this, you must spell it like that. And here he is, the Son of God, the Son of Man, standing up before all of them, and he calls him Abba, Papa, Daddy. I'm sure that those religious spirit-filled Pharisees, yes, filled with a religious spirit, a spirit I still see and hear today, I'm sure they gritted their teeth and pulled at their clothes and their tallit, and they got angry. How dare he? How dare this son of a carpenter teach these people to call the Almighty Abba? What he is, your Abba, your Father, your Daddy, and that's what he wants to be called. He wants intimacy with you. He wants you to come to him with your prayers, with your needs, with your desires, as children to a father. And the book of Acts church understood, because when Peter got arrested and he was kept in prison in Acts 12, they offered constant prayer to God for Peter, Acts 12:5. Wasn't casual prayer, wasn't this little shotgun prayer, hey, let's shoot this up into the heavens and maybe we'll hit something. No, they were praying. They were constantly praying. They were on their knees. They were on their face. They had their hands. However it was, they prayed. They prayed until Peter was let out by an angel. Folks, we've got to get this. We've got to understand this. Because I have never seen a time in my short period of being saved, 26, almost 27 years next month, I've never seen a time that prayer and answered prayer was so difficult. And it isn't because God changed. We know that he does not change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. There is no shadow of turning. What has changed is the demonic interference. What has changed is the depravity and the darkness in this world. What has changed is our fellow brothers and sisters in Messiah who have lost their way and they don't know how to pray. You call a prayer meeting and the same two or three people show up. I knew. I went to a church that had like 2,000 people on the rolls and could seat 1,000 people at any one time. And, oh, Christmas and Easter, productions, pageantry, music, oh, they would show up. But for prayer, oh, we'd start out with a good crowd, but then the week-to-week commitment, it would finally dwindle down to the same handful. And then eventually, over a period of time, it would just be me. I long to be in the presence of my Father. I long to walk with the Lord in the cool of the evening, in the darkness, talking to him and listening. But we are in a time where we pray and it feels like the words don't leave the room. And it can be discouraging. It can be disheartening. And we have to press through. We have to break through. You know, 1 Thessalonians, Paul told the church in Thessalonica, chapter 5, starting with verse 16, and I'm going to give you the Amplified version, which simply takes the meanings of the words in Greek and puts them into the sentence. Not changing it, it is amplifying it, it is expanding it. It's like scripture on steroids, if you will. It's bigger. Thessalonians 5:16. Be happy in your faith and rejoice and be glad-hearted continually, always. But unceasing in prayer, praying perseveringly. Thank God in everything, no matter what the circumstances may be. Be thankful and give thanks, for this is the will of God for you who are in Messiah Jesus, Messiah Yeshua, the revealer and the mediator of that will. Do not quench, oppress, or subdue the Holy Spirit. So we're supposed to be happy. We're supposed to rejoice. We're supposed to be glad-hearted continually, always. And on top of that, because of that, unceasing in prayer, praying, persevering. What's the first thing the enemy does? He comes in and takes your joy. He steals your joy. You give up your joy. You put it in a box. You put it away. I'll get to it later. But you never do. Oh, I'll praise him. Thank you, Lord. No, that's not thanking him. That is a brief salutation. From your heart, from your mind, from your mouth, begin to praise him. I've been in those moments of discouragement. I've been in those moments of feeling so deep down dark, you just want to quit. You want to roll up into a fetal position and say no more. And I begin to praise him. I begin to sing songs to him. I begin to pray in my prayer language, which immediately edifies me. And I begin to thank him. I thank him for everything I can thank him for, from my wife, my home, my pets, my possessions, my calling, the porch, and I just begin to thank him. I thank him for using me. I thank him for loving me. I thank him for caring about me. And I will tell you that that interference and that darkness begins to pull back because it can't stand in the presence of praise. But what's different? David did that. David praised him and thanked him. What's different between how we pray and how David prayed? Well, the answer is in John 14. Verse 16, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he will dwell with you and in you. Paracletos, the one that walks beside you, the one that encourages you, came from the prayer of the Lord to the Father. The Holy Spirit is the result of answered prayer. Yes, it's the result of the cross. Yes, it's the result of the empty tomb. But it is the result of the Lord praying, Father, send them the Spirit. Send them the Encourager. Send them the Comforter. Send them your Ruach HaKodesh. Change them. And he did. Matthew 21:22, and whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. Well, why will I receive them? Because I believe, or because I'm believing with the presence of the Spirit in me, which is connecting me directly to the Father in the throne room. There's no longer a separation. The signal has not been blocked. Hasatan, Satan, has not hijacked the signal. John 14:12, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. But there's a difference. If I have the Spirit inside of me, the Spirit of truth, And he's abiding with me, and he has taken permanent residence with me, and he's guiding me into all truth. I am not going to ask for something that does not glorify the Father. This is why Pentecost made prayer so different. Praying externally from this long-distance phone call from earth to heaven. There is no distance in the spirit realm because we have been reconnected to the Father. So then what's wrong? Why do we sit here today on Wednesday, September 9th? Why do we sit here with unanswered prayer? Why do we sit here with needs that have not been met, or illnesses or injuries that have not been healed, or lost loved ones, lost relationships? Why? These prayers that I'm going to offer at the end, why? Why are they still happening? Why are we dealing with this? And I don't know. I don't have the answer. I'm in this with you. What I do know is that my Father loves me, and that in the fullness of time, what he desires will happen. I also know that my selfish desires will not. It's for his glory that he answers prayer. But see, we got to understand that the Lord paid a price for this. And I think many of us, but I think many in the church, the charismatic world, the evangelical world, the religious world, the ones who claim to be believers, I'm doing that finger thing, believers, quotation marks, they've forgotten the cross. They've forgotten the price. They've forgotten what it took for us to be able to pray like this. Well, the Lord reminded again, red letter basics, Luke 24, starting verse 46. Thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Messiah to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and the remission of sins should be preached in his name to all the nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. And then he caps it all off with, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. Well, Richard, I must need to go to Jerusalem. I'll go to Jerusalem, and that's where I'll get the power. No. They had to go there because they had an assignment in Jerusalem. The upper room, the day of Pentecost, it was an assignment. But the fact is that he did suffer, and he did die, and he did rise from the dead on the third day. And because of that, repentance and the remission of sins, because of the shedding of blood, otherwise there can be no remission of sins, we would then be allowed to preach in his name, in his authority, in his power to all the nations, starting at Jerusalem. Jerusalem was the starting point. It was ground zero prayer. It was ground zero for Pentecost. It was ground zero for the Pentecost protocol. And then it spread. It spread through Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and then Paul and the others, and they took it to the Gentile world. And then those people took it out, and the enemy tried to stop it at the Council of Nicaea and the creation of the Roman Catholic Church. Forgive me, I got to say it. And took them out of the homes, put them in basilicas, turned it into a religion, gave it a tax-exempt status, which put the government in control of it. But you know what? That couldn't stop it. Because the spirit, like the wind, you can't stop it. You can block it. You can divert it. But it's going to go where it wants to go. And we've had periodic explosions of the spirit here and there and in different religions. The spirit-filled movement in America came from the Episcopal, came from the Episcopalian church, and not the Pentecostals, not the Assemblies of God. It came from an Episcopal priest out in California. That's where the last move of the spirit, and then, you know, William Seymour, earlier than that, in Azusa Street, this black man. Come on. This is how he does things. You can't stop the move of the Lord. You can't stop the Spirit. And here we are 2015, and the UN wants to stop it, and our government wants to stop it, and that nation wants to stop it, and these judges want to stop it. But I'm going to say to them in the name of the Lord God Almighty, you can't stop it. You can't stop what he has ordained. You can't stop the movement of the Holy Spirit. You can't stop the wind of the Spirit. You can't stop the signs and the wonders. And you want to know why? Because of the day of Pentecost, because of the Pentecost protocol. That Spirit's inside of me. The Spirit that raised him from the dead is inside of me. And it's inside of you in Tennessee. And it's inside of you in California. And it's inside of you in Europe. And it's inside of you in New York or wherever you are right now as you listen. It's inside of you. That's why we've got to press on. That's why we've got to press through. After he's resurrected, after he appears, after he does everything he needs to do before he goes, he says, all authority has been given to me and in heaven, on earth. What does that say? That says what Adam did in the garden has been revoked. All spiritual authority, all supernatural authority now resides in the name of Yeshua, now resides in the man that was once known as Jesus of Nazareth. And he has given it to us. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. And go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all the things I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. What is holding us back? That is divine fuel. That is supernatural fuel. You can drink all the Red Bull that you want. You can drink all the power drinks that you want. It will never match the fuel of the Holy Spirit. Go and make disciples. Don't make them members of your church. Don't introduce them to your pastor. Don't make them followers of this book or that way or this way. Make them followers of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Make them disciples and then teach them how to make disciples and get them to fall in love with him and get them to understand who they are in Messiah. We have got to wake up. We have got to grasp what took place in the upper room. I've said this before, and this is what the inspiration of this version of the porch actually started out in Tallahassee under a different name in our home church, and that was just the beginning. The seeds were planted. But this revelation, this fire I feel inside me comes from the revelation that something took place in the upper room that we don't understand and we have not been taught. And men in positions of power, it doesn't matter what denomination, doesn't matter what religious background, they fear this power. They don't want you or I to move in this power because they can't control it. How did Constantine get control of the Book of Acts church? The leaders in the world could not control the signs and the wonders and the things that were happening in the homes. It was out of control. So they went to Constantine and they asked him to take control. And out of that came the Council of Nicaea, and out of that came man-made rules, and out of that began the darkness of the dark ages. But this is a fire that can't be put out. And there was something that happened the other night that's kind of inspired tonight. I was laying in my bed. I don't sleep well at night. Part of that's physical. Part of that's because my mind won't shut off. But it's also the time that I pray and I listen and he talks. And I heard him say to me, I've given you the keys of the kingdom. And I know who I am in him. And I know who he's called me to be. And I know what title he calls me by besides son. And all of that's irrelevant in the conversation. But right out of the blue, in the middle of the night, he said to me, I've given you the keys of the kingdom. And I began to think about what he said to Peter, and it's in Matthew 16, starting with verse 13, when he said, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am. So they said, some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And he said to them, but who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter blurted out, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Yeshua answered and said, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter on this rock. You are Peter, Petra, splinter of this rock, the revelation, that's what I believe. I will build my church, and the gates of Hades, the underworld, shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And I laid there, and I saw the scripture in my mind, and I heard it, and I understood that revelation that Peter spoke is the rock, is the foundation of what we call the church, this body. That he is the Messiah, the Son of the living God. He's just not a prophet. He's not a dead prophet. He's a resurrected Messiah. And that the power and the gates of Hades cannot prevail against the church, because he's given us the keys, the privileged knowledge that comes with authority, the keys of the kingdom. And whatever you bind, whatever you forbid on earth will be forbidden in heaven. And whatever you loose or permit on earth will be loose or permitted in heaven. Meaning that we are working in direct conjunction with the throne room. We're never disconnected. So that when I go into a deliverance, when I go into a situation and the Lord gives me the revelation and I look at this individual and I see things that are inside of them and I say, I bind you in the name of Yeshua, in the name of the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and I forbid you from acting out, speaking out, and I loose you. I permit you to leave, but you must go to the dry and uninhabited places of the earth. I know without a shadow of a doubt it will happen, because I've been given privileged authority. The keys that he talks about are mentioned elsewhere, Isaiah 22:22. The key of the house of David I will lay on his shoulder, so he shall open and no one shall shut, and he shall shut and no one shall open. These are the master keys. And then we know in Revelation 3:7, when he speaks into the angel of the church in Philadelphia, write these things, says he who is holy, he who is true, he who has the key of David, he who opens and no one shuts, and shuts and no one opens. This is the key to everything. So that when I read the scripture, Matthew 11:12, read letters from his mouth, and from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. Then why? When I look at that, this prayer that I'm talking about, this Pentecost-powered prayer, this dunamis, this force, this power, that when I pray, when you pray, we come into agreement with him to permit something or to forbid something. Then why then is the church so powerless at this moment in history, when we need to be the most powerful? Why? I think I know why. Could be because the enemy is brilliant. The enemy has gotten us to get off track. He's gotten us to believe things that aren't true. He's got fixated on everything but the right thing. And the visual I want you to hold on is, let's say I'm holding in my hand this beautiful pearl button. And I tell you that this button is so special, don't ever lose it. And then I sit down. And the enemy comes along and grabs that button and throws it into a box filled with other buttons that look just like it but aren't it. That's what the enemy has done. He's thrown this religious doctrine or this belief or this denomination or this group of people and this book and that DVD and this conference. He's thrown all of this at us into where we've lost the basics. We've lost the power. We've lost the keys. Because people come to you and say, well, if you pray, you can be rich. You can have a big house. You can have this car. You can fly a plane. Does that have to do with anything? I want to pray for the sick. I want to pray for people to be saved, healed, and delivered. I want to pray the way the Lord prayed, and the way the apostles prayed, and the way the book of Acts prayed. And I can't find any of those selfish, self-serving prayers in the mix. James, the half-brother of Yeshua, says in chapter 4, starting with verse 3, you ask and do not receive, because you ask amiss, you ask incorrectly, that you may spend it on your pleasures. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity or hatred with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you think that the scripture says in vain, the spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously? But he gives more grace. Therefore, he said, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament, mourn, and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. We can't be like the world. The minute you do that, you enter into a broken relationship of enmity with God. And let me drop this bombshell. The structure of what we call church today is friendship with the world. It's based upon the IBM corporate structure. The minute Constantine gave us tax-exempt status and put religion under the power of government, we became part of the world and separated from him. We must repent. We must submit. We must ask him to cleanse us. Right there in James 4, verses 3 through 10 could be the key as to why your prayers are not being answered. There are elements in there that will short-circuit the power of Pentecost in your life. Vanity, pride, sin, rebellion, the world. I thought about it today because I try to help people. Anybody writes me, if I can help them, I'll help them. If I can go to them, I'll go. If I have to do it long distance, I'll do it. More often than not, people are their worst enemy. Oh yeah, the enemy's in the mix. Demons are in the mix, but they are their worst enemy. We've got to get to the place of 1 John chapter 5, 14. Now, this is the confidence we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. If we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions we have asked of him. Let me give you the amplified version of that one. And this is the confidence, the assurance, the privilege of boldness which we have in him. We are sure that if we ask anything, make any request according to his will, in agreement with his own plan, he listens to us and hears us. And if since we positively know that he listens to us in whatever we ask, we also know with settled and absolute knowledge that we have granted us as our present possessions, request made of him. In other words, we believe. Do you believe? Many times the Lord said your belief has made you whole. But let's also have another reality check here, people. There will be struggles and personal trials in this world. There will be tribulation in this world. There will be things that will go wrong in this world. And that's why he ended all the teaching on the Holy Spirit with John 16:33. These things I've spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And there will be times that when we're tested, like Paul mentioned in 2 Corinthians 12, that something may come into our life, a thorn in our flesh. Maybe it's a measure of humility. Maybe it's to keep us humble. Maybe it's to keep us grounded. I don't know. It's like I've been dealing with a leg injury since May. And since I don't have insurance, he's my insurance, and he'll heal me when he wants to heal me. And he has slowed me down, and it's been his way of keeping me from doing things and laying with him and listening to his voice. And I know that when the time comes and it glorifies him the most, he can heal me. And if he doesn't heal me, I'm okay with that. I'm going to keep going. Because when I'm weak, he's strong. And it's in his strength that I endure. Now, we're going to get to the praise and the prayer. And I am going to see, let's see if I can do this. All right. I just extended this. So whenever we get done, but I won't get cut off because I doubt I'll be done in the next 13 minutes. Hallelujah. Father, we just come to you now. We're ready to pray, Lord. I don't know about you, but I'm edified. I am magnified. I am jacked up. I've got some Holy Spirit mojo flowing through my veins right now. My heart is pumping. My eyes are open. My lungs are working. Luckily for me, my hands are working because I'm Italian, and if Italian is talking, his hands must be moving. So, Father, we come to you now as your children. We boldly, I mean boldly, approach the throne of grace and mercy. We're running. We're like little kids who want to see Dad. The door is open. We're in. We're in. We're in his lap. We're crawling on his leg. We're looking in his pockets for the candy. But now I just want to be on. I just want to be with you, Dad. I want to sit with you. I want to lean on your chest, and I want to hear what you have to say right now for your children. Nick in Dallas wrote, his father's surgery went well, and he's doing fine. And as a praise report, he had to be talked into taking a pain pill, which was not the case in the past. So, Father, wherever Nick's dad is, let this surgery, let the healing, let everything the surgery was meant to do be exponentially expedited to a place that makes no sense but to glorify you. And use this to encourage Nick, to encourage his family members, to have faith in you and to pray. Lori in Fort Mitchell, she requested prayer for her husband as he deals with a family issue, that may God give him wisdom and courage and peace. And there's some of you out there have sent me emails. You need wisdom. You need courage. You need peace, which means you need the Spirit's guidance. You need Yeshua, the Prince of Peace. If anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of the Lord, who will give it liberally. But Lori's asking on behalf of her husband. So, Father, we all stand in the gap right now with Lori for her husband. And we pray that you would envelop him right now regarding this situation in supernatural peace, wisdom that could only have come from above, and whatever courage he needs to act upon that wisdom. And I pray right now, Lord, that he would feel your presence and that he would know that something divine took place. Some of you have spouses, children, loved ones who don't have the same relationship with the Lord, if any, that you do. Let's stand in the gap right now. Let's begin to pray. Let's begin to petition the throne room. Send an angel. Send the Spirit. Give them dreams and visions. Show them the reality of who you are. Father, I hear praise reports coming from the world, coming from the Middle East, of you or an angel showing up and speaking to a Muslim believer and showing them who you are, that they would become converted and follow you. We're hearing reports from China. We're hearing reports from Korea. We're hearing miraculous reports from all these places. Father, we need this here in America. We need it in the Western civilized world to break through the darkness, to break through the shackles, to break through the walls that are holding them back from knowing you and making you Lord of their life. Stacy in Fort Mitchell wrote me, and she's always good about this. Stacy, if I were there, I'd pat you on the back, but I'm going to give you a long distance spiritual in the spirit pat on the back, because you're always good. You're always consistent, as is Lori. She says, I've been praying for you and your family as well as SRT. Folks, do that. I'm not beyond asking for prayer. I'm not beyond telling you that something shifted since last November when we went to McCullough and did what we did. You may not understand what we do with SRT, but the Father sends us places. The Lord commissions us to go shut things down. And for the most part, we've been shutting down portals, access points for the enemy in a geographic area, principality. Well, this particular event last November was not a portal. It was a superhighway. If a portal is a two-lane road, this was an eight-lane superhighway. This was unlike anything we'd ever seen or done before, and the backlash has been tremendous. So as the Lord leads, pray for that. Pray for the members of SRT. Also pray that the Lord give us the provisions to go on the road, to not only to help people, but to train people and to show others their authority so that they can do it where they are and begin to stand in the gap for their home, their land, their families, their past, their possessions, their city. And we can begin to make a way for the return of the King. So thank you for that, Stacy. She's been reflecting, and this has been a week of reflection, she says, and thankfulness. She's thankful for having me as a mentor. Thank you. Don't embarrass me. For her friend Lori and Kim, the other members of the Fort Mitchell crowd, the Fort Mitchell crew. I'm telling you, you got to get cut off denim jackets and, you know, letters on the back. She's blessed with healthy, beautiful children, for a marriage that honors God. She acknowledges that the Father never said it would be easy, but those things make it easier. If you understand what's important in life, when we do Shabbat on Friday nights, we don't do the traditional religious Shabbat. It's very interactive. We do praise reports and prayer requests. I always thank the Lord for my wife, for my family, my home, for the things that most people take for granted, I know are necessary. She talks about how things have been tough emotionally and financially, but they're turning around. There have been distractions regarding her father, which we talked about, the revelations that came from his death and all the things that are going on. And she acknowledges that they're coming out of the desert, but they're still recovering. I have news for you, folks. If you've ever been in the desert, the biggest mistake that you could make is to run to the food or the drink and gorge. Understand where you're coming from and be conscious of the transition. They have an issue that needs prayer. They have a truck that they thought was fixed, but it's a little worse off than they thought. And it's going to take some time. Boy, do I know that one. So let's just pray that God holds the truck together and those things that need to be fixed that weren't able to because they didn't have the finances, he would watch over. Stacy, real quick story. I had a friend of mine in Tallahassee. He's in my book. His name's Bubba, the redneck that was one of my first prayer partners. And by the way, Bubba has stomach cancer. So if any of you read the book and remember the stories about Bubba, pray for him. And he had started a job in Alabama. We lived in Tallahassee, and Alabama's a good distance away, as you well know. And he didn't have any money. He had just enough money to put gas in his El Camino. And he told me what he did was he laid hands on that car. And he said, Lord, I pray this gas lasts until my paycheck. And it was going to be 2 weeks of a lot of driving before he got that paid. And his report was he never ran out of gas. Supernaturally, just like with the loaves of fish and the bread, the Lord kept that car running until he got paid. So the Lord can watch over your vehicle until you can fix it. She praises the fact that God is in control and he sees us. He sees us through these things and he blesses us. Her prayer request is for more laborers to be ready for the harvest. And that the little group there that I've talked about will continue to see healing in relationships and further sanctification. She also wants to pray for the studio and the work that we're about to set out on. Thank you. Father, right now, I just extend my hand towards Fort Mitchell. I'm geographically challenged, so I'm just going to put my hand up. And I pray, Father, supernaturally for that vehicle. You would cover it, protect it, there'd be no harm, that the family and the children, and every time they get into that vehicle, they would have traveling mercies, your angels would protect them, and that, Father, you would make a way where there seems to be no way for that vehicle to be fixed. And I declare and decree this in Yeshua's name. Amen. New prayer request. There's a gentleman on Facebook. You know, I know some of you think that Facebook is of the devil, like that mother on The Water Boy. Facebook is of the devil. Well, it can be. There's a lot of things out there that the devil uses. But here's what I've found. I don't use it for those things. I use it to connect with you. I use it to promote The Porch and SRT and Firefall Talk Radio. And I use it to offer people prayer. Tim in Pittsburgh. I don't think Tim listens. I don't know what Tim believes. I know Tim has a good heart. We've met through a very emotional thing my family and I went through some years ago here in Orlando. And he reached out to support and encourage. He has a good friend named Anthony. I'm not going to give you Anthony's last name, but you're praying for Tim in Pittsburgh, his friend Anthony, who's had a really rough year. He lost his job of 30 years because it closed. His wife left him, and he was put out on the streets, and he's trying everything to survive. Anthony's in Chicago, and he's trying every day just to survive and not die, and he needs a miracle. There are so many people in this nation right now that feel that way. Somebody posted a thing here locally about supporting homeless veterans. And my comment was, those are two words that should never go together, a homeless veteran. And I don't think, I'm not applying this to Anthony, but this is a man who had a job, who had a life, who had security, and the world took it away. And he's trying just to survive. Lord, you said that you came to bring life and to bring it abundantly. I don't know where Anthony is in Chicago right now. I don't know what he's doing, Father, but I pray that you would send someone to him, whether human or an angel. I pray that you send someone to him to encourage him, to help him, and to bless him. Father, I don't know if he's saved or not. If he's not, I pray that that person would lead him to you. So I stand in the gap right now for Anthony in Chicago, Tim's friend. And I say that you shall live and not die. And when this is done, you shall declare the glory of the Lord. Father, I just break that spirit of discouragement. I break all the darkness that is upon him that wants to take him down, all the heaviness. I pray that you put a song in his heart. Father, I pray that you bring to his remembrance a Bible song that he learned as a child, and that out of the blue he would begin to sing it, and he'd begin to remember you, and that you would encourage him and hold him up. I pray that your angels would guard him in a Psalm 91 covering. In Yeshua's name, amen. I pray that as you pray this week, folks, out of the blue, you would just begin to pray for Anthony in Chicago, Tim's friend. Marietta, I connected her the same way I connected Kit through Tim. I'm leaking regarding this thing that my family and I went through. She's in the Florida Panhandle. She didn't say it's a praise report, but I'm going to offer it. She's been married to her husband, Bill, for 62 years, so that's a praise report in this day and age. Then again, she is from an era where people didn't quit when it got tough, but praise God for it. She has an important prayer request. She wants to know where to attend church. I think she has left where she was. She's in between. She says, I ever act hastily, and your group will be the second one I've requested prayer about this. The Lord knows where I'm at, and my desire has always been, Lord, keep me in your perfect will. And that her and her husband are in agreement to whatever the move is, and they need prayer for clarity. Mariette, I don't know if you're listening. First of all, you are the church. You need to find like-minded believers regardless of the denomination. If they're born again, you need to get with them. Because when all these bills go away, when everything falls apart, you're going to need fellowship. We're all going to need it. So, Father, I pray right now for Marietta and her husband, Bill, in the Florida Panhandle, a place I know well. I pray that you'd lead her to the right fellowship of people. People that will encourage her, people that will care about them, people that will uplift them, and people that will walk with them through the days that are coming. Supernaturally, Lord, I don't know how you're going to do it, whether she bumps into somebody or however you do it, I pray that you would lead them to the place that you want them to be in your perfect will. Amen. Folks, this perfect will thing, we talked about it before. It's a part of prayer. And here's what you have to decide. You can pray however you want to pray. That's really the truth. You can pray however you want to pray. Doesn't mean he's going to answer it. But then again, he might. And you better hope the prayer you prayed was Isaac, his perfect will, and not Ishmael, his permissive will. You want to know why we have the trouble we have in the world right now? You want to know why we have the trouble that we have in the Middle East right now? It's because of Ishmael, the permissive will of God. When Abraham and his wife Sarah couldn't wait for Isaac, the promise, he went into their handmaiden Hagar, and she had a child named Ishmael. And it was one of those things where God said, I'm going to give you the perfect, and they couldn't wait. And it would be like you saying, well, Lord, I know what you want me to have, but can I have this? And I hear people say to me, well, I prayed, and God said, okay. And I'm like, no. He answered what you asked him, Lord, is it okay for me to have this? Yes. Is it what you want me to have? No. We want Isaac. We want the perfect will. We don't want the permissive will. We don't want the will of God to be a punishment in the sense of, yes, it's in our life. Yes, he allowed us to have it. It wasn't what he wanted. And some of you are living out Ishmael. Some of you have made decisions in haste. Some of you have done things outside of his order or his timing. And now you're living it out, wondering what went wrong. Pastor Robert Shelley, my mentor and spiritual father, who I talk about a lot in my book, The Supernatural Battle, he's in Israel. He left on Sunday. He's going to be there through October 5th or beyond. And that's all depending upon what the Lord does and then get back. Because if some of the things happen over the next 2 weeks happen, he may be there a while. So he's in Israel. So I'm asking you to remember to pray for his protection and his guidance while there, for the Lord to gird him up, for the angels to protect him, and if anything goes down, for him to be supernaturally covered and to be brought home safely. And I've also asked for God to heal him there. He's been dealing with some health issues over the last year. Excuse me. Actually, last year when he went to Israel, he had a heart attack that resulted in open heart surgery when he came back. He probably should have died there. It was supernatural that he was brought back because he blew out half his heart. I pray that not only will the Lord heal him and restore him, but encourage him. We need mentors and teachers. We need people that can train others and impart their godly, life-earned wisdom. His daughter, Lisa, who he lives with in Gulfport here in Florida, she moved down from Gainesville, and she's in Gulfport, and she teaches school. She's supporting two homes, the one in Gainesville and the one in Gulfport, and she's asking for prayer to sell both so that the two of them can move into something smaller like a condo on the water. I'm praying right now that not only would the Lord protect Shelley and watch over him and heal him and do all those things, but that he would bring him back to a situation of appraise report that both those houses would miraculously sell, the one there in Gulfport and the one in Gainesville. And that was once a burden, two house payments would now be a blessing. And it would be freedom and it would be a release. So Father, in the name of Yeshua, I just pray right now, lead people to those homes who will buy them. Let it be swift without any complications, because we know how that can erupt. Any hindrances, lead the people to those homes and sell. In the name of Yeshua, I pray. Brian in Tennessee, my brother. Let me tell you something about how Brian and his wife Cindy. I'm not sure if they read my book or they heard me. I'd have to get a clarification. I probably should have asked before I did this. But they invited me into their home 2 years ago to come stay with them and to spend time with them and to talk with them. And they didn't know me. They paid for a ticket. They brought me there. And now they're family. And I love staying in their home. I love their dogs. And I love them. And they've been a tremendous support to this ministry. And let me just say it flat out, and I don't mean to embarrass you, brother. If not for them, if not for my brother, that studio would not have happened. So every time you thank the Lord for that studio, you ask him to bless Brian and Cindy in Tennessee exponentially beyond anything they could think or imagine. They're asking for a prayer covering over their family, for lost family members to be led back home while there's still time. And that's people that aren't saved and people that claim to be saved. So they need restoration and they need healing. They also have a house they've worked with their sons to restore and to flip that hasn't flipped. So we need it to sell quickly. They're asking for prayer for guidance from the Holy Spirit as to how better to target our prayers and to strengthen our faith. And his report is the same one it was last week, and it's still just as true that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and he's coming back soon. Part of this lesson has come from conversations with Brian. He stirs me up. He gets things going. He has been a sounding board at times where I need to say things out loud. Father, I just pray right now you'd bless this family. I mean seriously, abundantly, beyond anything, overflowing. Bless them. Bless them physically. Bless them financially. Bless them spiritually, family-wise. Just Overwhelm them now with your presence, Lord. Begin to flow from the throne room onto that house, your glory, your presence, your love. Flow it into their sons. Flow it into their wives. Pray a hedge of protection around that land, that home, those pets. Father, I pray that you would answer his prayer about how to pray. And that my brother would become a voice crying in the wilderness, crying out for the return of the king and inspiring others to do the same. And I pray this in Yeshua's name. Amen. I have a friend of mine, Anthony, here in Orlando, another person in the film business. I met him, I think, after I first moved here. He was heading up a Christian film festival, and we wanted to work together. We wanted to do some projects together, and it didn't happen because it wasn't his perfect time. And here we are 15 years later, 20 years later, whatever it is, 20 years later. Wow. Reconnected. He's asked for prayer for guidance and direction as to where the Lord is leading and what part he plays in events to come. And that is so smart. You don't just run out. You don't just go. You wait for orders. You wait for the command. You wait for the captain of the host to tell you. And Anthony has a desire to serve. He has a heart for people. He has a heart for the Lord. He has a heart for media. Father, I pray right now, Anthony and his family, first of all, would be blessed and protected, that you would provide for them. I pray for his guidance and his direction, and I also pray for how he and I are to work together if we are. Show him, Lord, what you need of him. Show him his assignment, his orders. In Jesus' name, Yeshua's name, amen. Trish is another friend of mine here in Orlando. Success, she has a successful business. She's seeking his blessing in a new business endeavor, and I don't know if that's in addition to what she's doing or replacing what she's doing, but Father, bless it, guide it, let it be of you, and restoration in her sleep. About to say, show of hands, how many people are having trouble sleeping? I don't have the romper room magic mirror. I can't see you, so if you held up your hand, I believe you. I held up mine. I don't think it's physical. I think some of it is. I don't think all of it is. I think the trouble of sleeping, especially if you're born again and spirit-filled, is you're picking up on what's in the air. There's a feeling of uneasiness in the air. And it's very hard to sleep like that. People that live in war zones or in the jungle, they don't ever get deep sleep. They get a restful sleep, but that one eye is always open, ready to jump up, ready to respond, ready to move if need be. I doubt the people in London during World War II when Blitzkrieg was happening, when the attacks were happening, ever slept soundly. I know in Israel they keep their gas masks nearby and they know where they need to run to if they don't have a bomb shelter in their home or apartment. They have to go somewhere, and the minute they hear that siren, they go. There's no hesitation. They know what they need to grab. They know where they're going. They've worked it out in their head. It's how they live. Folks, it's coming to America. That kind of mindset's coming here. So if you're having trouble sleeping, Latricia, like I do, like others I've talked to do, here's what I would recommend, and it works for me. When I go to sleep, when I lie down to sleep, I pray, of course. I pray protection of my home and all the things that I do, the land. But this, I add to the prayer. I pray that my physical man, my flesh man, sleeps. But my spirit man is awake and alert and prepared. My spirit man doesn't need sleep. So that if I'm attacked in my sleep spiritually or in my dreams, or something happens in my home, I can respond accordingly with my spirit man leading the way. I will tell you that if you will do that, you'll begin to understand that you are and begin to deal with it as such, you'll see a change. Again, I ask for healing for Jane in Los Angeles and a reminder of my friend Iva, who's in rehab dealing with, I guess it would be brain cancer. It was a tumor that they found. Iva needs a miracle. I've not been able to speak to her, and the people that were supposed to keep me posted have not. And I understand that. It's very difficult when you have this going on to remember, especially somebody as far away as I am. But here's what I've been praying, and I hope that you'll join me. I've been praying that Iva would have a supernatural, not just restoration, but renewal. That the Lord would not just heal her mind, but that we renew the tissue, and that her immune system would be strengthened, and everything the radiation and the chemo has done to her would be undone. And I know that if that happens, what will come out of her mouth is Yeshua did it. And I pray that this draws her closer to him. That in the time that she's in rehab, when she's by herself, or when she's too weak to go anywhere or do anything, she would close her eyes and think about him. Lord, I'm asking you to show up in her room, wherever she is right now. This 8-month struggle that she's been through, I'm praying that you would glorify yourself through her and that you would create revival in her life, her family's life, her boyfriend's life, everybody that knows them in Hollywood. Take what the devil has meant for bad and use for good. And I pray this in Yeshua's name. Amen. Last thing as we get close to closing out. That's a preacher term, which means I'm still going to talk, but not as bad as it used to be. It used to be if I said I'm closing, it would go on for another hour. I hope that you're praying for this nation. I hope that you're praying for other believers out there. I don't know what's going to happen over the next 2 weeks. I know on the 13th is Rosh Hashanah, the Jewish New Year. Or Yom Kippur. My brain just went somewhere, folks. Hold on. Rosh Hashanah's Feast of Trumpets, Yom Kippur. We've been talking about it on Reflections in the Dark, and I know many of you read all the things. Potentially, there are 33 things that could happen over the next 2 weeks, all the way through the 28th, the Feast of Tabernacles. And I know the Lord pointed me towards Feast of Tabernacles 2015. I can't tell you what he was pointing towards. I can't tell you what will happen. And I won't even tell you that all these people that are prophesying or predicting or selling products for is going to happen. But I do know that the potential with the blood moons, with the what's going on at the UN, with the Pope's visit, with what's going to happen in Israel, Palestine, the Iran deal, all these things that men and the fallen have planned, because I think the fallen are behind it. We have reached a place, a potential that we should be praying about. We should be prepared for. But most of all, our relationship with him and our walk in the power and the authority he's delegated to us will be vital. Because in a worst case scenario, if something were to go wrong and we would not have the internet or we would not have mobile phones and we would not have television, you'd have to circle the wagons with your friends and your family and your neighbors. And how you dealt with the food and the water and those issues is on you. But I would hope that after all this time here on the porch and everything we've talked about here and on Sunday nights on Reflections in the Dark, you would be spiritually prepared. You would have the weapons of your warfare, which are not carnal, but mighty through God for the tearing down of strongholds. you would be able to open a Bible and turn to places to show people that we are living out prophecy. We are living out things in the Bible. As the nations of the world begin to surround and turn on Israel, you would begin to show them this is not a surprise. Everything that's happening is not a surprise. Whatever man schemes to do is not a surprise, because he sits in the heaven and he laughs at the foolishness of men and the fallen angels that manipulate them. But I know one thing. I know who my king is. I know who my Lord is. And I know my daddy, my Abba, is. And when it gets really dark, I'm going to burn. I'm going to shine. And I hope you will too. And that's got to be a shine of love, not judgment. I know that judgment is coming, and it's begun at the house of the Lord. And I do not revel in it. I do not enjoy what I'm seeing. I do not enjoy the fact that over the next weeks and months, we're going to see famous men and women fall, maybe even die. And while I could sit here and say, well, they deserve it, that's God's judgment, it breaks my heart that they've allowed it to get to that place. So my prayer for them is repent. Repent. Don't let judgment come to your door. Put the blood over the doorpost and repent. Put it under the blood. Be forgiven. Come back to your first love. Come back to him. But it's happening as we speak. All the scheming, all the machinations, all the things that have been going on since the garden and since Genesis 6. The enemy has had a plan, and the Father had one too. And now we must live up to it. Now we must do what he called us to do. Now the protocol, the pattern, the power of Pentecost must be seen in you and in me. So, Father, I come to you now as we close on behalf of your children. I come to you and I speak to those that are in bondage. I speak to those that are dragging the chains from their former existence. I speak to them that are holding on to the grave cloths. And I say, loose them and let them go. Let the bondages be broken. Let the things of old be gone. Former things have passed. Whatever your addictions were, you are a new creation, and they should not have a place in your life. Lust, envy, whatever physical addictions, drugs or nicotine or the internet or video games, whatever it is, I say be released in the name of Yeshua. For that unforgiveness you hold in your heart towards a loved one that has hurt you, an ex-wife, an ex-husband, somebody, a family member, let it go. Forgive them as your Father in heaven has forgiven you. Here's what I want you to do, and I don't normally do this. I think I've done it once before here on the porch. I want you to pray the Lord's Prayer with me, but I want you to begin to visualize people. I want you to begin to see people in the spirit, in your lives. I want the spirit to bring people to your remembrance, things to your remembrance that apply to it. Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, Lord. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one and all that serve him, natural and supernatural. For yours, Father, yours, Abba, yours, Lord, is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. Amen. The porch was designed to be a fellowship. You're a part of the fellowship. Now, we may not be joined together. We may be apart. Maybe somewhere along the line we'll be able to hook up, maybe get together for prayer meetings. I don't know. That's the Lord's will, because some of that's technical, some of that's time, and some of it's money. But whatever the Lord wills, we will do. But here's what I'll tell you. I'm in this with you. If you don't have a pastor, if you'll write me, we'll work it out so that I will pray for you and I will cover you. I will stand in the gap for you against the wolves against the powers of darkness. I don't take that lightly. I don't say that lightly. Somebody wrote me last week, I think it was Stacy, who said, I know if you say that I'll pray for you, that you do pray, and I do, folks. Day or night, I will pray. So one thing I can do. Prayer. Prayer filled with the power of Pentecost. So we're going to close it out with the sound of the shofar. And I'm going to do a different one. It's going to be a little longer. You're free to go whenever you want to go. If you want to just let it play out and just hit you in waves, do it. But may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, give you shalom. I'm Richard Grund. This has been The Porch on Firefall Talk Radio.